y'all. I'm Chris Calvert.
And I'm her husband, Rob Potterworth. Welcome to Hitch to Homicide.
This is season 5, if you can believe that.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. And in honor of season 5, or the beginning of season 5, I should say, we wanted to bring you the best of...
Bless your heart.
It should be a good one.
Yep.
Are you ready?
I am.
I always wanted to say that.
I know.
Let's do it.
All right, number one, this is from one of our In-Laws and Outlaws members.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, Joy Knapp is her name.
Thank you, Joy.
Yes, Joy. Appreciate you sending this in. And this one is, I'm going to call it Snoregate.
Snoregate.
Yes.
Okay.
A Davis, California woman faces a February 23rd court date for violating the city's noise ordinance by allegedly snoring too loudly.
She's raising the roof, man.
Yep. Davis police cited the woman after her next door neighbor complained the snoring was keeping him awake at night.
Is this an apartment? Do they have a shared wall or something? Or is this outside?
Well, I guess it was like this really thin wall between.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quote, "It's really sad that this is happening," said the 30-year-old woman who asked not to be identified. She said, "I've been married for 9 years and my husband has never complained about my snoring."
He's probably snoring too.
Exactly. Or he's taking a lot of sleeping pills.
Maybe.
Yeah. The commotion began in the early morning hours of January 31st when Chris Dougherty called police to complain about the snoring on the other side of his thin duplex wall.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. After failing to reach a compromise, Davis police cited the woman under the city's noise ordinance that bars residents from making noise that would annoy any reasonable person.
Reasonable is the operative word. Okay. Yep.
This is the first kind of its case, said the lieutenant, and hopefully the last. The woman faces a $50 fine.
Oh.
But city officials have stepped in to try to have the issue resolved out of court. "This is not a place where government belongs at all," Mayor Lois Wolk told the Davis Enterprise newspaper. "The government does not belong in the bedroom listening through walls of other people's houses."
Oh, the government's listening.
Yeah.
Apple's, everybody's listening. If you're online, if you have a Wi-Fi connection, somebody's watching and listening.
Yeah. And to wrap it up, it says, "Under the ordinance, a person can be cited if they willfully create a nuisance. Since the woman says she does not snore willfully..." Ugh. She hopes the case will be thrown out. Dougherty first approached his neighbors late last year to complain about the snoring, prompting the woman and her husband to place a mattress against the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
To try to muffle the sound. Unfortunately, the effort failed to appease Dougherty, who finally brought the issue to the police.
Okay.
Yeah.
CPAP machine, honey. Yeah. Get a CPAP machine.
Yeah.
All that's, if your snoring is that loud,
oh my gosh,
you need one.
Actually, I had a couple buddies, you know, we'd go camping or whatever. They could shake the roof off of a house. It was ridiculous. So I know how annoying that can be. So my heart goes out to both of them.
Anyway, yes.
All right. Number two. Thanks for the gumball, Mickey.
Okay.
A criminal stole a mobile phone from his own lawyer who was defending him on a drug and driving offense.
Just pocket that right here.
That's it. Bobby Heath, 26, was caught on CCTV taking the cell phone.
Okay.
The repeat offender was due to appear in court charged with a theft of a smartphone last year. Yeah.
It's not his first offense.
No, he's got a phone fetish. But after a meeting between Heath and his defense lawyer, Charlotte Johnson, she realized that her mobile phone was missing and reported it to the police. Police officer David Pine was at the court, having been involved with Heath's drug and driving case, and reviewed the CCTV footage.
Sticky fingers.
Yep. He saw the phone had been taken by Heath, who, you know, had already left the building.
Of course he had.
Yeah, that's it. He's scramming. Inquiries to locate Heath eventually traced him to an address in Rochester, Kent. This is over in England. A few days later, and he was arrested by the police.
Yeah, find my phone.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. He's done. All right. And third and finally.
Okay.
Stop or I'll pop the top.
I don't know if I want to know what this is.
No, this is a good one. A bungling armed robber tried to hold up a store, but was beaten up by a teenage shop assistant using a can of fizzy drink. David Januszewski, 24, tried to hold up a corner shop with an air gun and shot Jordan Athernaut, 19, in the face. Yeah.
But, oh, wow.
But, when he realized it wasn't a real gun, Jordan fought back and picked up a can of the energy drink.
It just made him mad.
And turned it on Januszewski. Yeah. He left the arm raider with cuts and bruises, including two black eyes.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Good for him.
Yeah. Prosecutor Kevin Jones said Januszewski arrived at the... And I'm trying to pronounce this correctly, the Carriage Road store, dressed in dark clothes and wearing gloves and a scarf over his face.
Yeah.
Quote, he produced a gun at the lone worker shouting, I will shoot you. I will shoot you. Then he shot him. But instead of giving in to the robber, Jordan then picked up the canned drink and smacked Januszewski in the nose.
Why do I have this vision of like a big can of Monster energy?
Exactly. Yep, they both wrestled over everything, and then Januszewski fled the scene.
I'm sure.
Yep. He was later found hiding in a closet at a home.
Aw, bless his heart.
Yeah. So they arrested him, and now he's going to be doing a little time.
See, in my mind, when you're explaining that, they're like fighting all over the store. They're like knocking over the donut rack and everything. And they find him in the closet eating a donut. He's got powdered sugar on his face.
With two black eyes.
With two black eyes, and he's cut up.
I just love the fact that the guy, he shoots him, and he's like, okay, now you just pissed me off.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You did not do that.
You did not just do that.
Picks up a Monster drink and smacks it right in the nose.
Now you're going down.
Love it.
Now you're going down for sure.
All right. We're going to start off with the first one called, it seems legit.
Okay,
two Florida men have been arrested after officials say they pretended to be federal marshals to walk around a resort without wearing masks. This was during the corona.
COVID. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wear your mask. Yeah. You're supposed to wear your mask.
Walter Wayne Brown, he was 53, and Gary Brummett, 81.
81?
Yeah. Were arrested on February 11th, and I'm not sure what year it was, at the Wyndham Deerfield Beach Resort and charged in federal court with impersonating a federal officer.
Well, why did federal officers not have to wear a mask?
Well, the manager said Brumette went down to the front desk earlier on February 11th for a cup of coffee. After he was asked to put on a face covering, he revealed a laminated card purporting to show that he was exempt from doing so. We'll just put it that way.
I have a letter from my mom.
Exactly. The card was titled Face Mask Exempt Notice Card, according to court documents.
Oh, my gosh. This guy.
It was done in crayon. No, I'm kidding. Quote, I am exempt from any ordinance requiring face mask usage in public, the card read. Wearing a face mask poses a mental and or physical risk to me.
Okay.
Under the American with Disabilities Act, ADA, I am not required to disclose my condition to you. The manager said Brumette also pointed toward his belt, where a false badge was hanging. Do you know what this means? He allegedly asked.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a U.S. Marshal and can have you arrested if you force me to wear a mask.
I loathe these kind of people.
2 days earlier, employees at the hotel said that they had nearly identical experiences when Brown checked in. When Brown showed up a sans mask on February 9th, they handed him a face mask. and ask him to wear it. But like Bramette, he refused and pointed toward his badge and laminated card.
Do you know what this badge is?
It's unclear whether Brown ever put his mask on. But the next day, he returned to the front desk to extend his stay without a mask on. When the manager confronted him, he threatened to have the employee arrested.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. After the interactions, the staff decided to call authorities about the suspicious behavior. When police and an actual U.S. Marshal arrived, they found the two men dining in the hotel restaurant. Yeah.
They're like midway through their complimentary breakfast. They're over there making waffles.
Yeah.
And the U.S. Marshals show up.
Needless to say, they were both apprehended and are awaiting trial.
No,
I know.
Don't try to impersonate.
No, not at all.
U.S. Marshal.
No.
That's bad.
Yeah. Idiots. All right. Number two. Hey, look at me. A bank employee in North Carolina could face decades in prison after FBI investigators say he stole thousands of dollars from a vault and posted photos of the cash on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, according to a release from the United States Attorney's Office, Western District of North Carolina, 29-year-old Orlando Henderson had access to the vault of the bank where he worked in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
And systematically stole more than $88,000.
And nobody noticed?
I think he was doing a little bit at a time.
Over how many years?
I think 3 days. No, I'm just kidding.
Over 88 years?
Yeah, exactly. He took a buck. He was indicted last week on a litany of charges. According to the indictment, Henderson stole cash from the vault on at least 18 occasions in 2019.
Oh, so he did it on over 18 days, 18 different days.
Right, exactly.
What's 18 into 88?
I don't know.
He
stole the money from deposits made by other customers and used the funds to finance his luxurious lifestyle.
Oh, my gosh. So, like, if people brought cash in.
Yeah.
He would just pocket
it. He also put a $20,000 down payment on a new Benz.
I mean, you know, he had his priorities. Yeah. He's out there living the big life.
Yeah. He's also accused of falsifying bank documents in order to obtain a car loan for the remaining balance on the high-end vehicle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he falsified bank documents to walk out with the cash.
No,
but he's...
No.
Dude's working overtime.
Oh, yeah. He had this whole thing planned out. On numerous days on which Henderson stole money, he also made cash deposits at an ATM near his work site. The Justice Department release reads. It is further alleged in the indictment that Henderson destroyed certain documents and made or caused others to make false entries in the bank's books and records to cover up the theft.
Okay. So there it is.
So that's how he did the whole thing.
I mean, it's all computerized. How would you not know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, and during this time that he allegedly robbed the bank, Henderson posted photos of himself holding up stacks of cash on Facebook and Instagram. He just couldn't resist.
He needs the likes.
This is the best part. This is what he said. I make it look easy. But this is really a process, he said in one Facebook post, which has since been removed. He's got like 90.
I make crime look easy.
Yeah, Henderson is charged with 2 counts of financial institution fraud, 19 counts of theft, embezzlement, and misapplication, and 12 counts of making false entries.
Yeah.
The charges carry a maximum sentence of 30 years in prison and a $1 million fine per count.
Wow.
So let me think.
He's not going to be on Facebook.
Carry the one.
Anymore.
Carry the one. $30 million. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
God love him.
All right.
Bless his heart.
I know. And last but not least, he looks so lifelike.
Oh, no.
Most criminals don't leave an image of themselves behind at the scene of a crime. But police in California say that is exactly what happened when an artist was recently robbed.
Okay.
The sketchy situation began last week in Riverside, California, after a man approached a caricature artist and requested one of the cartoonish renderings. Once the drawing was complete, the suspect quickly grabbed the artist's money bag and fled the scene.
Oh.
Although he was able to make off with approximately $500, the thief left behind his own caricature in the heat of the moment.
Oh my gosh, that's a good one.
The portrait shows the suspect with emphasized features, sporting a thin mustache and wearing an earring. The man has on a backward cap and tufts of hair pushing out from under the brim. In a social media post, the Riverside Police Department described the suspect as a 5'1" black male with an average build in his early 20s.
5'1"? It's Kevin Hart.
I know. This caricature is of a suspect, but of course, the exaggerated characteristics and feature, the police department said. Police are asking the public to help find the man and are hoping that someone in the Riverside area recognizes him from the unique clue.
Is he like running?
Exactly. So there's your three. Bless ya, hot.
$500. He must have been a really good guy, well, really good artist, caricature artist.
Yeah, I'm sure the picture looked pretty good.
Just like him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going into the police? This is the guy we're looking for.
And they hired that guy as a sketch artist.
That's good. Yeah.
All right. This week's Bless Your Hearts. Let's start with number one. I'm calling it free beer.
Don't say that too loud.
Yeah. Undercover police officers hunted down suspects who had evaded arrest from crimes ranging from burglary to serious sexual assault, etc., by luring them with a promise of free beer.
Come on in, guys.
Yeah. The officers sent letters to dozens of people asking them to call a marketing company to receive a free crate of beer.
Oh.
With 19 suspects falling for the hoax and calling back. But
that's genius, actually.
Yeah. But they were actually being put through to the Chesterfield police station. Told to agree a date and time for the booze to be dropped off, they were instead met by police and promptly arrested.
And what's the moral of the story?
Don't drink beer. I don't know. What is the moral?
Nothing in life is free.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Sorry. I don't know.
There's no free beer in life.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay, number two. Who actually has the bird brain?
Me?
No, not you. In 2006, police were able to track down a bird thief after the parrot he stole managed to leave them a vital clue.
He stole birds?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tristan Maidment, that's the name, stole Mickey the macaw from a local pet shop.
Aww.
I know. Though Maidment said he didn't remember doing it. And obviously An obviously irate Mickey the macaw bit him during the struggle, leaving a trail of blood that police were able to use to obtain a DNA match.
I was hoping you were going to say that the bird was like, he's in here. He's in here. I'm being held hostage.
Help me.
Isn't there like a, I've seen a video where the police show up, the guy's outside working on his truck because there's somebody going, help me. And he brings out his bird and it's his bird saying, help me.
Because the police came in and, you know, they get into the driveway and, you know, they got their hands on their holster. And he's like, it's my bird.
It's the bird.
Let me go get him. And they brought him out. The police just started laughing.
If we had a bird, that would say something. They're hurting me.
Exactly. Well, Mickey's owner was not surprised by his parrot's crime-fighting act. He was described the bird as being notoriously bad-tempered.
That one's got a bad temper. You got to watch out for that one.
Exactly. All right, number three, and finally, in deep, deep doo-doo.
Okay.
In 2009, a drunk driver really put his foot in it after dog poo footprints led North Carolina police directly to him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Okay.
Tipsy teenager Jose Heros Cornilla.
Nice. Nicely done.
Thank you. Drove his black Camaro on the wrong side of the road before crashing into the garden of a dog lover.
That'll do it.
Yep. Police attending the scene discovered crushed bushes, a damaged fence, a wrecked car, and a fresh shoe print in a pile of dog do.
How big's the dog?
I know. Jeez. Tracing a whiffy trail down the street.
That's a big dog.
Yeah. The cops noticed a white van driving toward them.
Okay.
When they asked the passenger to step out, they noticed the smell of alcohol in the man's breath and evidence all over his shoes.
The smell on his shoe. The smell of the evidence on his shoes, too.
Yep. Well, guess what? He was promptly arrested.
It was, and then when they go back to the garden, the woman walks out. She's got a mastiff.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew.
Yeah.
Way to go.
The size of a small horse.
Jeez. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, Ox.
There's your bless your hearts.
That's good. Those are good.
No, thank you. All right. Well, let's start with number one here. And I'm calling this, I'm terrible at kids games.
Okay.
A policeman responding to a burglary report at a house in Johannesburg sat down on a couch to take a statement, not realizing a burglar was hiding underneath of it. The homeowner looked down and saw the burglar lying flat on his stomach, half under and behind the couch.
His head, he's still in the house?
His head was right near the policeman's legs. The policeman jumped off the couch and the man was arrested after handing back the stolen jewelry and a digital camera.
Oops.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to do my best South African accent right
okay.
now.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Quote, the police were so chuffed. They were in seventh heaven that they caught him. The whole thing was so bizarre, the homeowner told the Star newspaper.
Just chuffed to bits.
They were chuffed.
Chuffed to bits. Just excited, just a happy. Chuffed to bits.
I actually had to look that word up because I had never heard chuffed before.
Oh, I've heard chuffed to bits a lot.
No, never have. So anyway. Okay, number two. You know, they may be very low, but I do have standards.
Okay.
One local thief had high standards, but poor follow through. When Wellington Silva Oliveira robbed a cook, I love that name, robbed a cook taking his wallet and watch, he was upset to find the watch wasn't quite what he wanted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he kept the money, but he returned the watch claiming it was a fake.
Was it like a fake Rolex or something?
Who knows? While the victim hurried to report the mugging to the police, Oliveira stopped by to play soccer at a nearby field where he was still playing when police arrived and arrested him.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
I know. Imagine, you know, the crook hands the watch back to you and says, I don't want this.
This isn't good enough. This is a fake. I don't want this.
All right. All right.
Do better, cook. Do better.
All right. Number three. I don't have an ending to this, but I just thought it was funny. Surprise. One thief got more than he bargained for when he reached into a window of a parked car and snatched a tote. The bag belonged to professional snake catcher Brad McDonald. Inside was a highly venomous snake McDonald had just captured from an underground car park in Sydney. Gotcha.
That is priceless.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma is a bitch. Oh my gosh. A snake. That's great. So, I love it.
So there's your bless your heart. All right. Number one. I'm calling this one.
That's Pac-Man.
Here you go.
Right. Yeah. I'm an 80s kid. Yeah. Yay.
Now, because human creativity knows no bounds, people are constantly coming up with clever places to cook, smuggle, and consume meth.
Okay.
Yeah, most recently, in the steady stream of innovators is Georgia man Jared Fournier, who tried to pawn an old video game console with crystal meth stuffed inside the game cartridge slot.
Oh, my gosh.
Fournier took the console, an old Sega Genesis, to an American pawn shop around 5 p.m. on Friday, WALB News reports. Okay. He handed it over to the employees who appraised the console. Now, while checking, making sure nothing was amiss, one employee discovered the meth inside the cartridge slot and called Colquitt County Police. Fournier was arrested and charged with possession of crystal meth, at which point he couldn't really deny.
So wait a second. Was it his crystal meth?
Oh, yeah.
Was he so high he didn't know he had shoved it in the Sega Genesis? Because then he's trying to pawn it off and he's getting rid of his stash.
I'm sure he just like put it in there to hide it and then forgot about it. If he's a crystal meth dealer, he probably has a ton of crystal meth. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's a dealer, not just a user.
I'm sure he is.
Oh, okay.
But the most important question is, Was the Genesis in working condition?
Was it?
We don't know. But
oh. Enough of it, that crystal meth. Yeah, does that old Sega Genesis still work?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was interested in.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. Sorry, wrong number. In an odd twist of fate, a man accidentally called 911 while choreographing a string of burglaries. New York Magazine reports 911 dispatchers in New Jersey got the call earlier this summer and listened bemusedly to the call that was clearly a butt dial.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't take long for the conversation to get juicy as two male voices discussed plans to break into homes, empty drawers, and steal watches.
That kind of juicy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Later that day, authorities received a call from homeowners who claimed their dressers had been raided and $1,355 worth of jewelry had gone missing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thanks to the butt dial earlier in the day, police were able to pinpoint New Jersey resident Scott Robert Esser as the burglar.
Oh, Scott.
Yeah, Esser was pulled over and police discovered the jewelry in his car as well as a handgun and burglary tools. And now 911 dispatchers everywhere will think twice the next time they're tempted to ignore an obviously butt-dialed call.
What is this? Have you ever gotten a butt-dialed voicemail where somebody accidentally calls you, you don't answer it, they don't realize, and then there's just like this long, like a 4-minute long voicemail.
Yep.
You can hear them talking to other people.
They're talking to the checkout clerk.
Or somebody.
Yeah. All right, number three, and finally, this is my favorite, Yin and Wang.
Not yin and yang, but no. Yin and Wang.
An Austrian man just earned himself a 3-year sentence for a vicious crime of giving someone the wrong tattoo.
Ooh.
A 21-year-old woman strolled into the tattoo shop with hopes of getting a yin-yang symbol. What she got instead was a penis permanently drawn on her body, along with a popular word that begins with F. While miscommunication often plays a part in tattoo mishaps, this definitely was not one of those situations. The woman described exactly what she was looking for, and the tattoo artist even drafted up a preview, showing it to her before drawing what was supposed to be the same image on her body. Simple, right?
Simple.
Yeah. When she arrived home and took a peek under the fresh bandage, she then realized that he had given her something she didn't ask for. That's when she reported the incident to the police. If you find yourself asking why he would do such a thing, so did the authorities. And his response was, here it comes.
Yeah.
Just because.
I thought you were going to say, you know, no regrets, no regrets. It was going to be like no regrets or something like that.
No. And in addition to his 3-year sentence, he will reportedly be placed in a center for, quote, mentally abnormal offenders, unquote.
Mentally abnormal tattoo artists.
Yeah, exactly. So that's your yin and wang.
That's good.
There you go. All right. Number one, I'm calling this, instead of soccer, how about sucker?
I get such a kick about how you name these.
Well, you know. Okay.
He's more than just a musician, folks.
Oh, I'm a funny guy.
Paul. Just asking.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Robert Benson, and I want you to remember that name, Benson.
Benson.
Yes, stole some items from a store in Belfast, Ireland.
Oh, I love it when we go across the pond.
We're across the pond for all these. Unfortunately for the hapless thief, his crime was caught on CCTV, and so was the Benson 22 written on his back.
Oh my gosh, he's wearing his jersey.
He's wearing a jersey.
His athletic jersey.
Yeah, from one of the soccer teams.
Football. You better get that straight. Don't call it soccer.
That's true.
They call it football.
He fled the scene after realizing he had been spotted shoplifting by the store employees. But when police watched the CCTV footage, Benson's identity was staring them right in the face.
I mean, come on, man. That's not even a bless your heart. That's a come on, man.
I know. The crook was arrested and pleaded guilty to theft when he appeared in court.
Yeah, what was he going to say?
I know. District Judge Mr. Mervyn Bates highlighted Benson's stupidity, saying he might as well have had a neon sign identifying himself. He was given a 12-month probation order.
Oh, okay. So he didn't have to go to jail.
No.
He's well, and he's still wearing his footballer jersey all over the place.
Yeah, probably on probation. Yeah. All right, number two. Listen, I knew Betty Crocker and you're no Betty Crocker.
Rob says this to me all the time.
I do not. Two bungling drug dealers were arrested after they had the half-baked idea of buying 12 food blenders at once to speed up production at their $385,000 cocaine factory.
Like a food processor?
You got it.
Okay.
Suspicious supermarket staff tipped off police as neither Gavin Etchell or Thomas Davies, quote, look like cooks or bakers.
They don't look like Betty Crocker.
They don't. And officers found a well-equipped drug operation in a raid on Etchell's home. Prosecutor Roger Griffith said four blocks of cocaine worth $385,000 were to be mixed in the $10 blenders with 5.8 kilograms of pain reliever benzocaine so the pair could increase their profits.
They're cutting their cocaine.
They're cutting their cocaine. He said it was the purchase of the mixers by Davies in such quantities at the store that the suspicions of the staff were aroused and the police were informed.
They go out with 10 pieces of equipment. They're like, something's up there. Yeah. They're doing something.
Yeah, these guys don't look like they're doing after-hour cooking classes. Yeah. All right, number three. I think I can squeeze you in.
Okay.
A desperate clubber had to be rescued from an air vent after getting stuck trying to sneak into an Australian club.
Oh, my gosh.
Irishman Hugh McMahon, that is an Irish name right there, Hugh McMahon.
Hugh McMahon.
Has been forced to pay $1,800 in fines and damages after having to be freed from a roof near Sin City nightclub in Surfer's Paradise.
How about that?
Yeah. The 18-year-old was trying to get in.
I was 18.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The 18-year-old. I know. The stupidity of the youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those days. The 18-year-old was trying to get into the popular night spot after being kicked out of the club twice that night. The first time after he was spotted sleeping on a couch inside.
He just needed a place to lay his head.
I know. Give him a break, please.
Can you imagine he's laying there? It's like thump, 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 thump all around him. How do you sleep through that? I don't know.
I don't either. The teenager was on a 12-month working holiday when he broke into the roof space through a sliding door at the Promenade Apartments. So I'm assuming it was kind of adjacent to this place. And that's how we got up on the roof. That's my assumption. His plan was foiled, however, when he became stuck. He damaged the door's lock in his failed entry bid before becoming entangled in wires and stuck among pipes and internal struts in the cavity. Emergency crews, this is the best part. Emergency crews were called to the club at 1:30 a.m. with reports of a man that was heard screaming for help.
Oh, my God.
The delicate operation took him a long time, about 2 hours, while club goers crowded the streets to watch.
Okay.
The court charged him with trespassing, willful damage, and 2 counts of refusing to leave a licensed premises. Local TV station reported that Judge Ron Kilner failed to see the funny side of McMahon's antics, fining him with $900 and ordering him to pay a total of $1,700 in damages to the building owner and the Queensland Fire Service. So there you go.
And that's how Christmas got ruined. I always think of Gremlins when her dad came down the chimney, and then that's how Christmas got ruined.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, there's your stupid crimes of the week. All right, I got some good ones for you.
I need a good one after being on African safari today.
The first one I'm calling, now, that doesn't look like a spare tire.
Okay.
A Bronx man wanted by the NYPD was arrested in Pennsylvania on Wednesday after he was found locked in the trunk of a car, a report said.
He was in the trunk?
Yep.
Okay.
Leon Siheim Parks, 25, was discovered in a 2016 Dodge Challenger by an employee at an auto auction in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, according to Lancaster Online.
Okay.
Quote, I opened up the trunk to take a picture and there was a guy in there, the employee said.
What?
Leeds added that he quickly went to get Parks water because he wasn't moving a whole lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the auction yard was about 90 miles west of Philadelphia, so the guy was in there the entire time.
Did he say how he got in there?
Yeah. Let me go on.
Oh, sorry.
Parks is wanted on drugs and weapon charges, according to public records. He was reportedly uncooperative and identified by his fingerprints. It was not clear on Thursday how Parks got into the trunk of the car.
Yikes. A car that went to auction, no less. Yeah.
And it was 90 miles away. So you don't even know how long this guy was in there.
In the trunk, yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was the plan.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. Okay, number two. There are priorities.
Okay.
All right. Modern technology foiled this felon when he and a mate were found with 103 grams of marijuana in their car.
Okay.
While they were at the station for questioning, a third man sent a text message to one of their mobile phones saying, "Hey, water my weed, please."
Water my weed?
Please. At least he was courteous. The police went to his place and found a small backyard plantation. The driver was convicted of possession and the intention to deal drugs.
Okay.
His two friends were let off due to lack of evidence.
Where was this? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. All right. Number three and finally, that's not mine. According to a police report, early Friday morning, a woman was pulled over near a hotel in Griswold Road in Elyria, Ohio.
Okay.
Seconds into the stop, the officer said he saw Elizabeth Johnson place her hands under her shirt and shove something in her bra. All right. The officer ordered Johnson out of the car. The report says Johnson locked the door and refused to come out. After the officer convinced Johnson to get out of the car, the report says she was still yelling and uncooperative.
Okay.
She told the officer she was carrying nothing illegal.
Yeah. Okay.
Johnson reportedly screamed, "Fine, you want to see what I have?" and lifted up her shirt and bra, according to the report. The officer said upon doing so, a crack pipe fell from her bra.
It's not Mardi Gras, honey. Don't lift. Don't show anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's your bless your heart.
Oh, bless your heart. Don't try to stuff your crack pipe in your bra.
Yeah, yeah. There are other places.
Do not give anybody ideas. Don't do drugs, y'all.
Yeah, don't do that.
Just don't do drugs.
All right, first one. I'm calling. No. That's my evil twin.
You know, people always bring up the fact that you and I both go, no. We have friends who have said, do you realize that both of you go, no.
All right. A 19-year-old guy is in some trouble after carjacking a woman. And it's a little disturbing, but the end of it is okay. So,
okay.
Carjacking a woman driving for a rideshare company.
Oh, wow.
Jeremiah Vedner Charles ordered a Lyft ride back in October. According to reports, once he got to his destination, that's when things took a turn. Charles punched the female driver in the head, arm, stomach. Now, while being continuously hit, the woman jumped out of the car. That's the good part.
Smart.
Yep. It was at this point Charles hopped into the driver's seat and took off with the woman's Toyota Corolla. Now then.
Okay.
It wasn't hard for the police to track Charles down. He booked the Lyft ride through his own account.
Oh my gosh.
With his real name. A subpoena to the Lyft company gave cops all his information.
Wow.
And they tracked him down.
Yeah. Pretty easily.
Yeah, well, they even found the victim's car near his home. So he was arrested and serving time.
Most of those have cameras in them.
Yeah.
Most of those rideshare places, you know, Uber, all of them have cameras. Don't act a fool with your Uber or your Lyft driver.
No. All right, number two. I'm calling this one, maybe a little Prevagen would help.
Now he's making fun of me.
No, not.
Gotta take my Prevagen so I can remember stuff.
A dad in Connecticut. Well, he called the cops to report his kids missing after he popped into a grocery store and they weren't in the car when he got back.
Okay.
But it just turned out he was drunk and didn't realize he forgot his kids at home. Well, he got a DUI and arrested.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Okay, now this third one, it's a little graphic and it's really not a bless you heart, but it's sort of a bless you heart.
But you just had to give it to us today.
Well, part of the reason, because it came from my best friend from high school. He texted me, Tommy Milligan, and gave me this story because it happens in our hometown of Sidney, Ohio.
Okay, I think that's worthy of a bless your heart.
It is. So I'm calling this one, can't quite put my finger on this one. So thanks, Tommy.
Okay.
In February, Sydney police officer Kiara Kennedy responded to the Sydney Walmart
Okay.
It's always in a Walmart. In regards to an amputated finger being discovered in the parking lot.
What?
Yeah. Upon arrival, the officer recovered what appeared to be an amputated finger.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Investigators transported the finger to the Montgomery County Coroner's Office, at which point it was confirmed that the finger was, in fact,
human.
A human finger, likely that of a white female.
Oh, wow.
Now, as of date, no medical providers can provide information that links the fingers to any recent patient.
Did they fingerprint the finger?
Well, I don't know that. but this is where this is why I said a bless your heart. This is actually a bless your heart for the police department. The police department at this point does not have any reason to believe, wait for it, the finger's amputation was a result of any suspicious actions.
What? It's not suspicious that there's just a random finger in the parking lot?
Yeah, exactly. I have a Walmart.
I thought you were going to tell me it was like a rubber finger or something that somebody found.
No. However, until explanation can be established of how the finger came to be at the parking lot of the Walmart.
Yeah.
This case will remain open for all investigative
leads. Wow. If you've lost a finger, come forward.
Yeah. I do have a number for anyone that may have any information of that. You can call the Sydney Police Department at 937-498-2351 or leave the information with Crime Stoppers at 937-492-8477.
You never know. Somebody might hear this and know something.
Yeah. But it's not suspicious.
Well, you know what I say? Bless her heart, whoever lost the finger. Bless her heart.
I know. Somebody, did she get her finger caught in the door? I don't know.
Well, I always think about, they talk about people getting their finger cut off for jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a mob thing.
Yeah.
You want the rock, you just take the whole finger.
Yeah.
Well that took a dark turn on the bless your heart.
Sorry,
wow.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks for that, Tommy.
All right. First one I'm calling, right.
Okay.
John, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name correctly, Comparanetto.
It's been a rough day for names.
Yeah. John Comparanetto, that's his name. A retired police chief was threatened with a pistol when he left a men's room in Pennsylvania.
He's leaving the men's room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was walking out and he got a pistol drawn on him.
Okay.
The 19-year-old Robert took cash and mobile phones from him.
Okay.
What he didn't know, in the vicinity, there had just stopped 300 policemen who were there to attend a seminar. A former police chief got there, helped, and gave the robber a tough chase. The young robber had no chance and was caught before he could escape in a taxi. Now, here's the kicker. Upon arrest, he gave a ridiculous statement by saying, "I'm harmless."
I'm harmless?
Yeah.
You're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, buddy.
Oh, he's carrying.
A, he pulled a gun on a police officer. Yeah. B, there's 300 of them there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's tough luck, man.
Yeah, that's a bad day. All right, number two, TMI.
Too much information.
You got it. A 23-year-old drug dealer wanted to get caught. At least it looks like that.
Okay.
At a border crossing in Germany, a young Polish citizen put a momentous question to German officials.
They don't mess around now.
No, here's what he asked them. He wanted to know whether an old warrant against him from North Rhine-Westphalia, a German state, is still valid.
Hey, guys, am I still wanted? Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, it was valid nationwide and not just in North Rhine-Westphalia. The border guards took the dealer immediately.
Of course they did.
Yeah. He's now serving a prison sentence of 1 year and 3 months.
That's the easiest arrest they made all day. Am I on your list of felons?
Yeah, exactly.
Still a warrant out for me? Yes, sir, there is.
Just stupid. All right, number three and finally, and this is a long one, so let me get through this.
Okay.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Well, that's always true.
Yeah. An alleged drunk driver unwittingly handed himself over to Nebraska police when he reported someone else traveling in the wrong direction.
Oops.
As it turns out, he was the culprit.
Yeah, he was going the wrong way, thinking that everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The man told dispatchers that someone was driving a truck on the wrong side of the Highway 77 in Lancaster County, nearly ran him off the road.
Get these kids off my lawn.
Yeah, that's what Lancaster County Sheriff's Office Facebook said. Now, when a deputy pulled the man over just moments later. The driver immediately realized what he had done.
Yeah.
Officer, do you know why I stopped you? The officer asked. The driver's blood alcohol content was over twice the legal limit. Yeah. Yeah, because I was on the wrong side of the road.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, the man responded, chalking the error up to a missed exit.
So he turned around. He misses his exit, turns around, goes down the wrong way of the street?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The man, I know, you can't make it up. The man instantly confessed to calling 911 on himself when the deputy realized who he had in custody. Yeah, because I thought someone was on the wrong side of the effing road, bro, he said.
At least he owned up to it. Yeah.
But it turned out it was you, asked the deputy. Yep, like a dumb the driver admitted.
Again, he gets points for honesty.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. Yep. Wow.
That's what happens. You tell on yourself, man.
I know. Well, Well, bless your hearts.
Don't drink and drive, y'all. Oh, don't do it.
Yep.
Don't do it.
All right. Number one.
Number one.
Food fight.
You ever been in a food fight?
No, I have not.
Food fight!
Chris has been in a food fight.
but that's a whole nother story.
That's a tale for another day.
Well, when you hear about a food fight, you might think about an elementary school lunchroom. But today's dumb criminal is an elderly woman who incited a food fight at a Golden Corral restaurant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a nursing home.
No. But now she's in trouble with the law.
The Golden Corral.
Yep. According to a WITN, a 64-year-old woman intentionally bumped into another man in his 60s in line at a North Carolina restaurant. Sure enough, surveillance video shows the woman cursing at the man, grabbing his shirt and shoving him against a wall and slapping him.
What?
Yep. She actually assaulted the man and another woman in line. Plates were thrown. One woman ended up on the floor and police were brought in to investigate.
There was only one steak left on the food line at the Golden Corral.
Well, it turns out the woman went berserk because the man and woman she attacked had gone around her in line to pay. Well, but they wanted to pay while she was filling up a drink. Old Lady Anger Pants was jailed on 2 counts of assault and battery, all because she couldn't wait an extra minute to pay for her dinner.
Don't cut line, man.
Yeah. Note to self, never go to a bingo parlor with this woman.
Makes me think like if she had a little cane, she'd be like.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Number two, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Okay.
A Florida man wanted by cops tried to throw them off by placing a big sign outside his house reading, Johnny Yates does not live here.
Nothing to see here.
It didn't
Move
work.
Move along.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yates, 41, who was wanted by the Polk County Sheriff's Office on aggravated battery, false imprisonment, and tampering charges, was eventually locked up. Now, here's how it happened.
Okay.
Deputies showed up at Yates's Lakeland home around 2:45 p.m. on Saturday after getting a tip that he was holed up inside.
Yeah.
When the deputies arrived, they noticed a note written on a dry erase board in front of a window that said, Johnny Yates does not live here. Gee, a dry erase board never lied to us before. Should we believe it?
Yeah.
They said, yeah. Enough was enough. And the surrender smoke, that's one of those little smoke bombs, was dispensed inside the house and 4 people exited the home.
Oh, wow.
But no Johnny. All right.
Did they not knock on the door first?
I'm sure they did. Deputies called out some more, but still no response from Johnny. So a second helping of a surrender smoke was put inside the home to waft around a bit.
That stuff is strong.
Yeah. But yet still no response from Johnny.
He doesn't live there.
I guess he doesn't. Finally, deputies and a canine, Dexter, the dog, entered the house and located Johnny, who was hiding in a modified chest of drawers. All right.
He's in the drawers. Okay.
Yeah. Johnny was arrested and taken to jail.
Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah. The officer said the 4 people who were initially holed up in the house with Yates were also dealt with. Here's what they said. In regards to the 4 people who weren't cooperating with deputies, each one received a parting gift, a charge of resisting, and an all-expense-paid trip to Grady Judd's bed and breakfast. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judge, that is.
Oh. How did they, I don't know how they survived two smoke bombs, but okay.
Well, those four came out right away. They're like,
hey. Oh, they came out right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just couldn't find Johnny.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, she didn't seem all that concerned about exposure.
I have a bad feeling about this one.
Oh, it just gets really bad. A Florida woman who was busted for having sex outside a hospital was pictured wearing a surgical mask in her mugshot amid the breakout of the coronavirus pandemic.
Oh.
Yeah. Anne Marie Tucker, 45, was arrested earlier this month and charged with a misdemeanor of trespassing and exposure of sexual organs. As she... Yeah. And her partner was also Albert Singletary, 37. Yeah. Their genitals were allegedly on full display to the public during the tryst, which happened across from St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Peterburg.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You said genitals. I am a 14-year-old boy.
Tucker pled guilty to both counts and was released on March 10th for time served, jail records show. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very ironic that they're out having public sex in front of everybody out in the open, but yet she's going to wear a mask to her mugshot.
Mm. Well, she didn't want to get sick.
Yeah.
She just wanted to have sex.
Well, there's your bless your hearts.
Well, bless your hearts.
So there you have it. Some of our favorite bless your hearts from episodes past.
And bless their hearts.
I know.
And bless your heart.
Well, bless your heart. No, bless your heart.
That's all we have today. That's my amazing husband.
And that's my beautiful bride in the same room with me.
Join us next time on Hitch to Homicide.
Bye, y'all.